Who of you attended this service in the beginning in January this year? Okay, only a few of you, because there were only a few of you in January. There are only like 30 people. So I'm just, Luke and I, we're just so excited for what God is doing, especially amongst the young people in this town. Who of you are excited about that? Okay, so many people, hey, ek sien as 'n mama wat ook opgewonde is. So many people are just wanting in on what God is doing in George. Do you guys know that? Do you know that George is destined for massive things in the Spirit? God wants people to start digging in so that other people can get saved. God wants us to go and seek Him, be intimate with Him, and spread His flavor across this town so that people get to know Him, so people get saved, so that they can get rid of their issues and their uselessness and their sin and their nonsense that's keeping them back from the fullness of God. Okay? Who of you know that when you come to Jesus, you can come with everything that you are, that you've done, and you can just lay it at the cross, and God wants to set you free from all of that nonsense. Do you know that? Okay? And some of you are sitting here, and maybe you've come to this cross, and you've sat at Jesus' feet. Maybe you've attended a worship service, and maybe last week the Holy Spirit just wrecked you, and you were just so blown away about what happened, but you're still sitting with nonsense. And God's saying, tonight you can just bring that again. I want to deliver you from that. So there's a place where we move towards Jesus so that He can fill us anew, so that He can fill us afresh, so that we can move out and we can be the flavor and the fire in this world. And that's what we want to be. We can't just sit and wait for other people to be the flavor of Jesus. We need to be that. Okay, so we're going to talk about worship, the worship and the prophetic, and I'm calling it a mouthful of heaven. Okay, we're talking about having heaven in your mouth. Okay, so do this. Okay, whoever you're experiencing heaven, okay, Mark's already, he's already tasting heaven. Okay, so this month is worship and prophetic month, so we're focusing on worship. When we think of worship, what do we think about? We think of singing songs to God. Whoever you think of that, okay? Yes, that's a big part of it. It should actually be a lifestyle of worship. Everything you do should be, wow, I can just see that guy is a worshiper of Jesus. I can see it in his eyes. I can see in the way that he does his homework. I can see in the way that he treats other people. Everything he does is worship. It's as if he's doing it unto the Lord. But it's rightfully also that it's something that has to do with the mouth. And that's what I'm talking about, a mouthful of heaven. Well, if you know what the prophetic, what's the prophetic? What's prophecy? Well, if you know what's prophecy? Okay? So prophetic is basically a term. It's a grand term. So if you want to confuse people, you go like, well, I'm so prophetic. It's just a grand term to say that you're expressing what God is saying in whatever way. But mostly it has to do with words that you speak. If I go to Lodewijk and I'm like, Lodewijk, I have a prophetic word for you. You're going to play for the Springboks and you're going to have 10 children. That's the first one is a prophetic word. The other one is just what I want for him. Okay? So it means that I'm hearing from God and I'm just translating into human language. Some people would be, they would say, okay, I have this dance, and this dance means that Jesus wants everybody to be free, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, because that's a scripture, actually. Those of you who don't know, 2 Corinthians 3. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So they would come and dance. That would be expression, a prophetic word for us as a congregation. Okay, so you now have worship and the prophetic, and we're going to combine them into having a mouthful of heaven. So open your Bibles. I don't have my Bible yet. Is there a Bible thief here? Okay, this is probably, if scripture, if all the scriptures in the Bible were girls, this is probably my princess, okay? Okay. So all of you need to start to have a relationship with Scripture. You need to find, you need to read Scripture until it consumes you. That's why I bring your Bible. We're starting a new thing in church. We've been doing, saying this all the time. But bring your Bibles to church because it's the Word of God. It means that the one that loves you, the one that wants to set you free, the one that makes your dreams come true, that is the one that wrote this book. Okay, so this is Isaiah 6, verse 1 till 8. Isaiah 6. Sort of in the middle. Just after Psalms. Songs of Solomon. Okay, it says here, in the year that King Uzziah died, by the way, King Uzziah, he became king when he was still a teenager. One of the things that we want to get to in this place, that there must be people coming to this church service from a very young age, so that when they're 16, they will come up here and they will deliver a message. And the adults will sit in their rows with their little notebooks and saying, wow, this is amazing, revelation, wow, wisdom. Because if the Spirit of the Lord is on you, you can share, and the people will listen. There's wisdom coming from your mouth. Anyway, so he died, sad day. I saw on the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So Isaiah, writing this, he has this open vision. He's seeing God. And above it stood seraphim. Seraphim, just another word for angels. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And I want you to make a note of this. Okay, so now he's entering into heaven. Because that's what happens when God comes upon you. You're experiencing a little bit of heaven. And the angels is saying these words. They're saying, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. So from a place of heaven, if you look at the world's just glorious. Everything is amazing. Even South African rugby is amazing from heaven. The whole earth is flooded with his glory. But that's a perspective that God wants to take us into so that we can move from heaven to the earth. Not only complain, not always complaining about what's happening on earth, but actually taking heaven, saying, wow, this is what's happening in heaven. I'm going to take it down. And your mouth is central to that. And then 4, and the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So it's this amazing thing that happens. And then Isaiah responds, he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. He's referring to his lips. He says, his lips are unclean. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then verse 6, then one of the seraphim, the angel, flew to him, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongues, so a bright tongue, from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? And this is where we want to get to. And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. When I was 20 years old, God called me when I was 16 for the full-time ministry, and when I was 20 years old, I was contemplating of going to full-time ministry. I went back to my dad's church, and somebody else was preaching on this chapter, and when I heard that, I was like, this is me. God, here I am. Send me. And this is my relationship with this scripture. All of you need to get those scriptures in your life where you read them, and it's almost like that emotion, that first experience when God spoke that word to you, it comes back to you and it's so real that everything else fades away. So I want to highlight 3 things here. Okay, the first thing is, it starts this process of actually knowing where you should go. God sending you starts with a place of intimacy. What is intimacy? What is intimacy? It means searching God out, making time for Him, going like, Jesus, I want to know You. I'm going to come to church until I experience You. I'm going to read the Bible until I experience You. I'm going to be awake all night praying for You until I get into Your presence, until I experience You. Some of you just entered in this place 2 weeks ago. There's one of the guys sitting here. He entered this place, and the whole week he was crying out for God to experience. And when he entered during worship, he just felt the power of God on his body physically. And he had that encounter. So that's where it starts. It all starts with that seeking out God. Some of you are struggling with sin, and you're hoping that I can pray for you so that your sin can be taken away. You must just go into the presence of God. And you must read your Bible until it becomes so part of you that you feel you literally sitting in that throne room with Jesus. Okay, is that that's a deal? That's where it all starts. If you wanna sum up all my sermons, that's the sermon that I'm gonna preach all the time. God will sort out all your problems, but you have to give it your all. Some of you take all the time in the world to figure out this thing, your smartphone. You know exactly what apps to use. You know exactly where to go and what to do and where to search. But you've never taken the time out to figure out God. Proverbs 25 verse 2 says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a matter." In other words, God takes great care in sometimes just hiding stuff from us. Why? Because He wants us to pursue it. And then it says, "It's the glory of a king to search it out." And even when you become a son of God, God is king, you are royalty, you are a king's son. Et blobloed. Yes, a koningskind. But then you start searching it out. You're like, God, I want more of You. More, more, more. More of You. You're always satisfied with what He has given you, but it's the same idea. You want to search Him out. Like, I'm satisfied with my relationship with my wife because my wife is amazing and she's beautiful and she's hot. All those adjectives that you want to use. But I'm also, and she tells me that I must search her out. I must not just be lazy in my pursuit of who she is. I know that there's more of what I can experience of my wife. The same with God. So the first thing that you need to go for is the encounter with God. The second thing that's going to happen to you, and it's funny that here it focuses only on the mouth. It says a purification will happen. So now you're searching God out, and God sends His angels, mini braaitang and ikwalki, and He touches your mouth. And He says, your sins are forgiven. And I have the privilege, this is my job. I pray with people, they like, no, God will never forgive me. And I'm like, wow, it's so easy. Just bring it to God. Bring it to God. And the moment they experience that forgiveness, they are set free. And they just on this track of holiness. They want to pursue holiness because God has given them the blessing of holiness. So you encounter God, you are purified, your sins are set free. Yes, there's a confession of sins that need to happen. Last week was amazing. The presence of God was so tangible. People just started confessing their sins. We didn't even talk about sin. Because in the presence of God, sin looks stupid. Sin is stupid. It takes away your lifeline towards God. It's stupid. The storm or noosel. Okay. Say for iemand langs jou, sonde is stupid. You didn't understand it. Just say, sin is stupid. Okay, then his mouth gets touched. He says, I live amongst a people with unclean lips. All of you can say that we live among a people with unclean lips. We use foul language to speak negatively against authorities, whether it's Jacob Zuma, or at the school, or university, or this town, we blasphemous in our language. And it doesn't only mean that I'm not talking about foul language only. I'm talking about just being negative towards people that God loves. So we all live in that place, and God wants to touch our mouths tonight. I'm going to trust for that to happen so that we can get to that place where it's that commissioning, God saying, because he's screaming it out, but nobody has received that purification to actually hear it. You need to have that forgiveness of sin, that purification to hear it, so that God can go, hey, you know what? I want to send you to save the whole of George. I want to send you to be a messenger to all of Africa. And some of you are sitting here, you're going to go into Africa and you're going to change nations. That's the kind of potential that's in this place. God wants to send us, but we've never made that point first to encounter, then to receive the cleansing, the purification, Jesus' blood, dying on the cross. That's enough. And then we get sent out. That's where we want to go. So listen to this. So we want to bring heaven, the heavenly language, we want to bring it through our mouth into this area. You have the ability with your mouth to bring heaven to earth. So this holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of His glory. They didn't just sing a worship song, they actually saw the whole earth is filled with God's glory. And if you have that place of intimacy, you can actually proclaim that over where you are. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit, the atmosphere of heaven enters a room, the upper room. Go and read it yourself. What happens? The moment it enters, flames of fire, yes, were seen on their heads, but then also they started speaking in tongues. So when heaven enters you, you will start speaking. Words will come out. You will have verbal heaven coming through your mouth. Acts 4, the same thing happens. So they get persecuted. People and some of you have already experienced that. Hey, so are you now a Christian? Hey, so you believe God can still heal? Hey, so you believe God can still do this? And you see people getting healed, and you're praying in this tongue, and you're doing all these things to the glory of God. And then people persecute you. And what happened here with the disciples? They said, okay, God, we want more of you. We want more of you. And then that building where they were praying was shaken, and something else happened again. They started speaking the word of God with boldness. So again, the atmosphere of heaven came into their lives, and they started speak it. So your mouth is powerful. It's the first outlet of heaven. Some of you have experienced that. You get full of the Holy Spirit, you just start bubbling in tongues. Why? Because your first outlet is through your mouth of heaven. Acts 10, the same thing. Holy Spirit comes, speaking in tongues, praising God. Acts 19, same thing happens. Paul lays his hands on the guys in Ephesus. They start speaking in tongues and prophesying. So I want you to get this. If heaven enters, it will come out in the way that you speak. But now here's the problem. God doesn't control your tongue. You control it. God wants you to take ownership of your tongue, and you need to speak it. And especially if you are called to a prophetic ministry, and there's lots of you that are very prophetic, you don't even know it. You have so much authority in your words, God will call you like Ezekiel to speak to dead bones, and that dead bones will just start living. Because of your words. But you've never exercised discipline when it comes to your tongue. So let's read James 3, verse 7 to 12. He's painting a few pictures for us. The one is of a big ship. A big ship is controlled by a small little rudder at the back. Where the rudder goes, there the ship goes. And then he says, that is exactly what happens with your tongue. He says, as your mouth goes, there everything, there your life goes. So that's the kind of thing that he's trying to convey to us. Then in verse 7, it says, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. So we're quite powerful. We can tame things. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. So we communicate vertically to God. We say, praise Jesus, hallelujah, amazing, you are great. But then the way that we speak to our friends, it's not translating well. It's like blessing, cursing. But God created those people in His image. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? I like that part, huh? My brethren. Bear olives or a grapevine bear figs. Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Okay. So I know what's happening in Otoniko. Who of you know what's happening in Otoniko at the moment? Okay. Okay. Tuomas also knows what's happening in tonight. Okay. So I'm just gonna be very open. Tuomas, can you come and stand here in front? Okay. So Tuomas at the moment he's the head boy of Otoniko. That's amazing, eh? God has given him. And I'm really very proud of this guy. Because he is, man, this guy. If he was my brother, and his brother's actually sitting there, Philip. Hello, Philip. If he was my brother, I would be so, so proud of him. I feel like he's dad in a big way. And Thomas made a mistake. But he made a mistake. And now just because he's very influential, everybody knows about this mistake. And it was a mistake because of his tongue. But Thomas learned this lesson, and he's already forgiven. He came to me, and he repented, and we prayed about it. And there's amazing things that already happened just because of that. Some of you are sitting here because of what happened with Thomas. And there's a lot of grace with Jesus Christ, and He has already forgiven Thomas for that. And Thomas is the amazing. He is an amazing guy. Thomas, you can sit. I'm just love you, man. Just bring it forward. But yeah, I want to challenge the Otoniko people. So the devil wanted to destroy Tuomas with his own tongue. And now some of you sitting here trying to using that same tongue to destroy your school. Okay. No, When I was during worship, I didn't prepare this, so I'm just, okay, so you made a mistake, and there's a big thing happening, and God is wanting to use this whole thing for revival in Otoniko. That's what I felt God telling me from the beginning. While I was worshiping, God told me, okay, Almo, are you going to challenge these people? They are hashtagging Save Thomas, but I want to hashtag Save Otoniko. I want the whole school to be saved just because Thomas and all these righteous people sitting here are not going to speak curses towards their school, but they're actually going to bless their school. Can we get an amen for that? Okay? And it's not, and the great thing is we're not at the moment, it's not the headmaster versus Tuomas, or teachers versus the school kids or authority. It's the devil versus God. That's what's happening. And what God is challenging all of you on, and even there's some teachers sitting here at the back, Leon and Henry, and those guys are also following Jesus, and they're doing amazing jobs, and they're not perfect. Timo and Diapia, hey, mana. And Izona, sorry, Jesuk was a certain year. And what God is challenging all of us on is to see the devil's plan and counter that with our mouths. And I'm sensing that just maybe let's take hands quickly. Let's take hands and we pray for this thing to be turned around in one prayer. Okay. So there's a, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come in the authority of Jesus Christ, Lord, and I pray for not only two of us to get saved. He's already saved, Lord, and you already love him. And he's already going to heaven, Lord, and he's already bringing the flavor of Christ into Otoniqua School, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you have placed him in that position, Lord. But we pray now for the school, Lord, for all the kids that don't know Jesus. Lord, we say, let our mouths not be a hurdle for those people to cross into the kingdom, Lord, but let our mouths actually create the atmosphere of heaven so that people will get saved, so that our friends will get saved. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, are we gonna go for this? Okay, it's gonna be difficult, but let's go for it. Actually, ek back julle. James, gaan ons Ruben, gaan ons dit doen. Okay. Barry, gaan ons dit doen. Okay, one of the things that we need is we wanna become Christ-like. So the response that we need to give is a Christ-like response whenever we're in difficulty. When I squeeze an orange, what should I get out? I've been using this example. Lemon sap. If I get avocado oil out of it, it's just weird, okay? And the same way, if you squeeze a Christian, the only thing that should come out is love. Love through your mouth, love through everything. Selfs jy poep moet dit liefde wees, okay? So everything that comes out, and that is, the only thing that should come out is love, not talk, okay? Okay, so, and that is what we want to represent. It's easy to represent Jesus when it's going well. It's very difficult to represent Jesus when you're in trouble and you actually have a cause to fight. There's a cause to fight. But to represent Jesus in that moment, that is where we will win the battle. Not against somebody that we feel made a bad decision, but that's where we'll win the battle against the devil. Because that's what we called for. Not to fight people. Okay. That's on the side. Okay. We're going to play a quick video. Bit of a random video to put in it, but the point what I want to make is there's a frequency in heaven, okay? That's the building, that bridge collapsed because of resonance. Do you know what resonance is? Where's my physics teacher now? There's another physics teacher, okay? But I already asked if I have it right. So every structure has a frequency. And when you have a frequency, something bringing that same frequency to the structure, resonance happens. And that's what happened to that bridge. So there was a wind blowing 45 miles per hour, which is a strong wind, but not strong enough to break or to destroy a bridge. But because it blew for a long time, actually at the exact same frequency, there was so much power in that wind that it actually made the whole bridge collapse. And this is how your tongue can do. There's a frequency in heaven. The frequency is described by what we saw the angels singing. They were ministering to one another and said, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." That's the frequency of heaven. And when we, with our mouths, speak that same frequency, our mouths become very powerful. Not only, you're not going to walk around and just sing the whole time, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth," and you see stuff collapsing and people collapsing. And that's what I'm talking about. But it's a mindset. It's putting your mind on who God is rather than what the devil is doing. So all around us, there's stuff happening and there's negative things in your life. And some of you just destroying yourself with the words you speak over yourself. But if we commit our mouths to the frequency of heaven, and the only way that you can do it is to spend time with God and to be in that secret place with God, you start hearing the frequency of heaven and you start speaking it. When somebody comes to me with a massive problem, they have sinned and they feel in the world's, from the world's point of view, they are just gone. The first thing I do is I want to get into that frequency of heaven. Hey God, you say the whole earth is full of your glory. This person is full of your glory. This person is not full of sin. He is full of your glory. I'm going to call that glory out so that I can show them in the context of this glory they have, that the sin is small and they can just give it to God so that God can remove it and walk away from that. And some of you on that exact place, you can't see the glory in your own life because you have spoken all those negative words over yourself. You are connecting with a frequency of the devil, not a frequency of heaven. And some of you are connecting with the devil's frequency in somebody else's life. So you're constantly dishonoring people. You're constantly criticizing people. And you are breaking people down. I had to repent of that for a long time when I was younger. Because I have a very sarcastic way of saying things, especially when I was younger. But I broke down my sister. I destroyed some other people, and I'm not proud of it at all. But now I've learned that when I enter that frequency of heaven, my words carry power. How did God create this world? With words. What did he do after he created the world? He came to Adam, and he blew in him Ruach, the Spirit of God. And that same Spirit comes out the moment you speak. So literally, you're like, and you literally, you, in other words, you're taking the Spirit, the breath that God has given you, and you're proclaiming it over Tim. And if that's filled with words that's breaking down, you know what's going to happen? That person's going to feel like he's being broken down. Okay, let's stand. Okay, I'm going to tell you a cool story that happened 4 years ago. So my wife and I, we wanted to go and live in a poor part of Stellenbosch. And across the road from us was a guy who lived, and every Saturday he would drink a lot and he would swear, like, until 2 o'clock in the morning. It was loud. We couldn't sleep. Didn't have babies back then. We just prayed for this guy. Didn't even really pray too much. Then one day, my wife and I, we were just conversing, and we're like, why this guy, the neighbors, they're not doing that anymore. They're not partying till late at night. And the next day, or the day, a few days after that, we walked past this guy's house, and he was busy painting the outside of the house. And I asked him, hey, Charles, what's happening? What's happening? He said, no, I'm painting the outside of my house because the inside of my heart changed. And he tells me a story of how he got saved in a church. Somebody invited him to church and he got saved. Charles. But then, and Charles told me, Homo, I know that I need to use my words to tell the story of my salvation, tell the story of the Bible to other people, but I can't. He said, hey, I still smoke. And it feels like my cigarette caps. What's a prop in English? Prop? A plug? A bud? It's a bud. Anyway, keeps me from proclaiming this message of God's love. So he came to me and we prayed. And a few few demons left. Those of you not familiar, just go and read the scripture about demonic stuff. And then something crazy happened. He started doing this funny thing with his mouth. And he said, "Amo, it feels like somebody is pouring oil on my lips." I'm like, "Charles, that's amazing. You know what's happening? You are getting anointed on your lips, exactly like Isaiah. Your lips are being anointed so that you can speak God's word. You're not going to smoke anymore because your lips are for proclaiming God's good news, telling his story to other people." And he didn't smoke after that. And that's what God wants to do to you tonight. Some of you are struggling with your words. Some of you are struggling with foul language. Some of you are struggling with smoking. Some of you are just struggling with critical spirit. Some of you you're just always negative about everything about yourself. And God wants to heal you tonight. He wants to anoint your lips like Charles. Why? Because he knows that if you're going to start speaking the heavenly frequencies, the strongholds in your school, the place that you work, in Georgia, it's going to come down.